弟兄姐妹早上好。
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
我们很高兴今天早上我们再在一起来敬拜我们的主，我们的神。
We are very happy that this morning we can come together once again to worship our Lord, our God.
上周我们一起研读了路德记的第三章。
Last week, together we studied the third chapter of Ruth.
拿俄米计划为路德寻找一个安身立命之处。
That Naomi planned to find a home and a place of rest for Ruth.
我们的结论乃是上帝是透过提供这些机会给那些愿意跟随他的人。
Our conclusion is God provides opportunities for those who are willing to follow him.
从而来实现他的计划。
And thus fulfill his plan.
我们也讨论了如何来分辨这样的机会。
We also discussed how to discern such opportunities.
因为这样的机会有三个不同的特征。
Because all these opportunities have three obvious features.
那么第一，它不是出于自私或者是损人利己的目的。
First, it is not for selfish purpose or self-interest which causes detriment to others.
第二个，这个机会应该是上帝一贯工作的一个自然的延伸。
The second, these opportunities should be an extension of God's consistent work.
那么最后，这样的机会常常需要我们有勇气和信心去拥抱。
And lastly, these kind of opportunities require us to embrace with courage and faith.
今天我们继续研读第三章。
And today we will continue our study on the third chapter.
焦点是在禾场相会这一幕。
And our focus will be on the scene at the threshing floor.
对，面对这样的天赐良机啊。
And facing such God-given opportunity,
路德和波阿斯是如何应对的呢？
How did Ruth and Boaz respond?
我们希望这些思考对我们的现实生活会有帮助。
I hope that such considerations will be helpful to our daily and real life.
因为要抓住这样的机会，我们需要以什么样的态度？
What kind of attitude do we need to have to seize such an opportunity?
也需要我们有什么样的品格，我们才不至于马失前蹄。
And what kind of character we need to have to prevent the opportunity from slipping away?
其实啊，我们如果有时间去默想上帝的性格的时候，我们就会发现。
Actually, if we have time to meditate upon God's temperament, we will find.
我们会发现上帝是一位非常慷慨的上帝。
We will find that God is a very generous God.
是一位后代人的上帝。
A God who loves to give.
因为他将许多的恩赐和机会赐给了我们。
Because he gives us many gifts and opportunities.
所以每个人的人生啊，都有上帝这样的恩典。
And everyone has this kind of grace from God in his or her life.
但是很多的时候，我们不是错过了机会啊，就是虎头蛇尾。
But many times, in many cases, we either miss the opportunity or we don't end up following it through.
那么结果呢，可能是一塌糊涂。
So the end will be disastrous.
那我们认识一位弟兄，他其实在公司里面是做一个很好的职位。
I know of a brother who holds a very good position at his work.
那么他在这个公司在南加州也是个相当大的一个化学公司。
And this company in Southern California is a quite large company.
那后来他可以做到这个副总裁的位置。
And later he was promoted to be the vice president.
那么他也有很多的机会，因为做生意他到世界各地去旅行。
And because of the job, he had many opportunities to travel around the world.
但是就在他这个旅行当中，他一个机会，他在加拿大认识了另外一个女人。
And during his travel, he had opportunity to get to know a woman from Canada.
结果造成了他整个家庭婚姻的这个破裂。
Which led to the breakdown of his own family.
我想不但他给自己 带来了一个灾难性的一个后果。
I think this not only caused a disastrous outcome for himself.
那么他也给他的周围人带来了很多的伤害。
He also brought many damage to the people around him.
你看，世界上既然有这样的事情，就将上帝本来是祝福我们的一个机会，最后变成了诅咒。
So there's such a thing in the world that sometimes we turned God's blessing into a curse.
所以不知道大家有没有看过这电影《蝙蝠侠》呢？他就引用了一句名言哈。
I don't know if you have watched a movie called The Batman, which quoted a very famous saying.
这个名言这句话呢是已经广泛的流传。
And this saying was widely circulated.
因为他说是超级的能力必然伴随着巨大的责任。
And this saying goes like, superpower is accompanied by super responsibility.
那么同样这个天赐的良机啊也是伴随着神所赋予的使命啊。
Similarly, God-given opportunities are accompanied by God-given mission.
所以当我们具备了一定能力的时候
When we possess certain abilities,
所以我们要知道上帝所赐予的能力我们应当如何使用这个能力呢
We should know how can we use these abilities given by God.
大多的数的时候我们当有一个能力我们就会用这个能力去为自己来谋利益。
Most of the time, people use their abilities for their own profit or their own benefit.
这是很自然的事情。
This is natural.
但是当我们拥有一个天赐良机的时候呢
But when we do have God-given opportunities,
我们同样也会有这样的倾向。
We might have this tendency.
所以我们必须要预备好自己。
So we need to prepare ourselves.
所以我们不是用这样的机会去满足自己的欲望。
So instead of using the opportunity to satisfy our own desires,
而是利用这个机会来荣耀神。
We need to use such opportunity to bring glory to God.
既然机会和能力都是上帝的恩赐
And since opportunities and abilities are gifts from God,
那么如何把握机会使用恩赐这是我们的责任。
So how to seize opportunities and use the gifts is our responsibility.
可能有些人会说，哦，我可能没有什么特别的能力，我可能也没有什么特殊的机会。
Some people may say, I do not have any special abilities or I do not have some special opportunities.
但是这些都是发生在我们日常生活中，其实我们每个人平常都会遇到的。
And these happen in our lives that everybody would encounter.This kind of opportunities.
那有一次我在洛杉矶一个中餐馆去用餐的时候
One time I was dining at a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles.
我就看到一个人他可能是刚刚从中国来或是怎么样
And I saw someone who might just have come from China.
不知为什么他跟这个适应生呢有了一些冲突
And I didn't know why he had a conflict with the waiter or waitress.
所以他就坐在那里呢开始骂骂咧咧的就开始大发脾气哈。
So he sat at his dining table and was very angry.
那么就说呢我是来这吃饭的你是来伺候我的所以你一定要把我伺候好。
And he said, I'm here to eat and you're here to serve me, so you need to serve me well.
所以这种就是我们看到说这种到餐馆用餐你看我们就有权利来指使侍奉生对不对
So we can see that when we do eat at the restaurant, we have the power to tell the waiter what to do.
那其实当我们自己开店的时候呢我们就有权利来指使雇员、啊、
And when we open our own store, we have the power to tell our employees what to do.
那我们在公司做主管的时候呢就有权利来管理下属。
So if we're a supervisor in a company, we do have the authority to manage our subordinates.
那如果我们就是家里唯一的收入的话
So if we're the only breadwinner of a family,
好像全家人都一定要看我的脸色。
Then the whole family need to look up to me and see how I behave.
所以这些 看起来是表面的一些个小的事情。
These seem superficial or artificial.
但是这些机会都是神给我们的机会。
But all these are opportunities given by God.
但是我们怎么样能够利用这些机会能够荣耀神。
But how do we use these opportunities to glorify God?
今天我们就借着路德和波阿斯的这个故事，我们来思考这个问题。
So today we will consider this issue by looking at the story of Ruth and Boaz.
希望可以启发我们。
I hope that they will inspire us.
那么这样的机会面前呢，我们就不会跌倒。
That we will not fall before the opportunities.
反而是百尺竿头更进一步。
But on the contrary, we will move up to a higher level.
好，现在我们就来看路德记的这段经文。
So now let's take a look of the passage from chapter 3 of Ruth.
如果有圣经的话，请你打开路德记第三章七到十五节。
If you have your Bible, please turn to Ruth chapter 3. We are going to be reading from verses 7 to 15.
Yeah, 我来读中文，裴师母来读英文。
I will read in Chinese and Mrs. Petal will read in English.
请大家打开路德记第三章，我们来读第七节到第十五节。
So open your Bible to Ruth chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verses 7 to 15.
波阿斯吃喝完了，心里欢畅，就去睡在麦堆旁边。路德便悄悄地来，揭开他脚上的被子，躺卧在那里。
And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down.
到了夜半，那人忽然惊醒，翻过身来，不料有女子躺在他的脚下。
It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet.
他就说你是谁？回答说我是你婢女路德，求你用你的衣襟遮盖我，因为你是我一个至近的亲属。
And he said, Who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore your skirt over my hand, your handmaid, for you are a near kinsman.
波阿斯说女儿啊，愿你蒙耶和华赐福。你末后的恩比先前更大，因为少年人无论贫富，你都没有跟从。
And he said, Blessed be you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followed not young men, whether poor or rich.
女儿啊，现在不要惧怕，凡你所说的，我必照着行。我本城的人都知道。你是个贤德的女子。
And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all that you required. For all the city of my people do know that you are a virtuous woman.
我实在是你一个至近的亲属，只是还有一个人比我更近。
And now it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I.
你今夜在这里住宿。明早他若肯为你尽亲属的本分，就由他吧。倘若不肯，我指着永生的耶和华起誓，我必为你尽了本分，你只管躺到天亮。
Tarry this night, it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto you the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part, but if he will not do the part of a kinsman to you,Then will I do the part of a kinsman to you. As the Lord lives, lie down until the morning.
路德便在他脚下躺到快天亮，人彼此不能辨认的时候就起来。波阿斯说，不可使人知道有女子到场上来。
And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, Let it not be known that a woman,came into the floor.
又对路德说打开你所披的外衣他打开了波阿斯就捉了六簸箕大麦帮他扛在肩上 他便进城去了。
Also he said, bring the veil that you have on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city.
那么这段经文就跟我们讲的是路德和波阿斯在禾场相会的一幕。
This passage tells of the story of how Ruth and Boaz met at the threshing floor.
路德一步一步是按照婆婆的吩咐去做的。
Ruth followed her mother-in-law's instructions step by step.
我们也看到事情完全是按照拿俄米去预料的来发展。
And things turned out as Naomi expected.
那么当路德请求波阿斯说求你用你的衣襟遮盖我。
And when Ruth asked Boaz to cover her with his shirt, with his
那么这就是路德的一个求婚的一个方式啊。
This is how Ruth made her proposal.
那么故事就达到了高潮。
So the story reached its climax.
那么接下来我们期待波阿斯说 yes, 那个事故事就是皆大欢喜了啊。
Next, we look forward to Boaz saying yes, and the story will have a very happy ending.
但是路德却偏离了拿俄米的剧本。
But Ruth deviated from the script of Naomi.
因为她加了一句话。
She added one word, one phrase.
她提醒博阿斯说，你是一个至近的亲属。
She reminded Boaz that he was a very close, a near relative.
于是呢事情就急转直下。
So things turned around sharply.
半路杀出个程咬金啊。
So halfway came out this 程咬金。
那么他和波阿斯的好事呢一下就危在旦夕了。
So Boaz and her good deeds were at stake.
因为还有另外一个人比他的关系比波阿斯与他的亲属关系更近。
Because there was not.Another man who is even a closer relative than Boaz.
那这是怎么回事呢
？So what's going on?
那我们来看啊，波阿斯的亲属身份实际上在这个之前已经提过多次了。
Actually, Boaz's kingship was mentioned a few times before.
首先出现在第二章啊。
It first appeared in chapter 2.
那作者说明说波阿斯的第二章第一节说波阿斯是亲族中的一个。
In chapter 2, verse 1, the author explains that Boaz is one of the relatives.
这个说法一般是比较笼统的。
And this statement is more general.
所以我们并不知道他到底是这关系有多亲近。
So we do not know exactly how close he was to his family.
那么第二次是借着拿俄米之口进一步的解释。
And secondly, through the mouth of Naomi, she further explained.
那么这是也是在第二章的后面哈。
This also appeared in the later half of chapter 2.
那在那里就讲到说他是这个波阿斯是一个一个什么样的亲属呢这个希伯来文叫 Goel 哈。
And what kind of relative was Boaz? Actually, he was someone called Goel.
那么如果直译的话呢这个意思就叫买赎者。
And literally translate, Goel means the kinsman redeemer.
那中文呢是把它翻译成做至近的亲属。
And the Chinese translated as the nearest relative.
那么这位后面的故事啊就埋下了伏笔。
So this laid down a foundation for the story that will unfold.
因为根据以色列人的律法啊那么一个人死了之后呢其妻呢不可以外嫁。
According to the law of Israel, when a man dies, his wife should not marry outside the family.
那么其死者的弟兄呢可以娶她为妻。
The brother of the deceased should marry her.
那么这就所生的儿子呢是归在死者的名下。
And the son born will be under the name of the deceased.
这样免得这个宗派宗族支派呢就会消亡哈。
Lest the clan tribe should disappear.
所以这样的亲属呢就会称为狗爱了。
Such relatives are called Goel.
这样的婚姻呢，则成为立位婚。
And this kind of marriage is called the Levitical marriage.
对，当拿俄米向路德提出这个计划之时呢，他只是提到波阿斯一般的亲属。
So when Naomi proposed her plan to Ruth, she only mentioned that Boaz was a relative.
那么这是在第三章的第二节。
This appears in chapter 3, verse 2.
但是当路德向波阿斯求婚的时候，
But when Ruth proposed herself to Boaz,
则提到他Goel的身份。
She mentioned his Goel identity.
这就是这个至近亲属的身份哈。
That he is a near relative.
虽然是一个小小的改动，但是整个婚姻的性质就完全的改变。
Despite this minor change, the nature of marriage was completely changed.
拿俄米要为路德寻找一个归宿。
Naomi wanted to find a home for Ruth.
但是路德呢，却是要为婆婆家里面要是传宗接代。
But Ruth was thinking of carrying on the lineage for her mother-in-law.
这就是为什么波阿斯称赞路德说，你末后的恩比先前更大。
That was why Boaz praised Ruth, that her kindness, latter kindness, was greater than her previous kindness.
那么先前的恩呢，是指的路德对拿俄米的忠心啊。
The previous kindness referred to Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law.
那么末后呢，则是指的路德要求的这个立位婚哈。
And the latter was referring to the marriage that Ruth was proposing.
所以我们看到，面对这样一个机会啊，路德不是把自己的需要放在首位。
So we can see that in the face of this opportunity, Ruth was not putting herself first.
她本来是自己是摩亚人，她完全可以不受以色列人这个律法的限制。
She was originally a Moabitess, and she was not restricted by the law of Israel.
那么按照我们现在的标准呢，她完全可以嫁一个高富帅。
Based on our standard today, she was entirely possible for her to marry a tall, rich, and handsome man.
但是她是选择了立位婚。
But she chose to have the Levitical marriage.
所以这个就是上帝之爱在路德身上的体现。
So this is the embodiment of Hesed love on Ruth.
所以在面对这样一个机会，这样一个选择的时候，
So in facing this opportunity and a choice,
他所遵循的乃是上帝之爱的选择。
Ruth abided by choosing the Hesed love.
所以我们再来看波阿斯怎么样面对这样的机会。
Now let's look at how Boaz faced such an opportunity.
同样我们看到的也是上帝之爱的体现。
Similarly, we can also see God's love being realized.
其实波阿斯完全可以拒绝。
Boaz could refuse.
那么他也有充分的理由可以生气。
He had every reason to be angry.
那么他更有机会去乘人之危或者占点便宜。
He also had the opportunity to take advantage of Ruth.
但是波阿斯却是选择了担当。
However, Boaz chose to act.
所以就展现了一个很崇高的品格。
Showing his noble character.
那么第十节我们看到说他称赞路德。
In verse 10, we saw that he praised Ruth.
那么第十一节，那么他来安慰路德说你不要害怕。
In verse 11, he comforted Ruth, saying, do not be afraid.
那么他也向路德承诺，他必然会为这个事情来去担当的。
And he also promised Ruth that he will act upon her request.
其实我们完全可以想象路德这时候的心情啊，他是非常紧张，是一个胆战心惊的这样的一个情况啊。
Actually, we can imagine that Ruth was very fearful at this time.
那波阿斯向路德保证，一定要保证说为此事来奔走。
And Boaz promised to take care of this matter for Ruth.
那么其实与路德一样哈，波阿斯在这个天赐良机的面前呢，他是把上帝之爱展现的是淋漓尽致。
So like Ruth, Boaz fully demonstrated God's love in the face of this God-given opportunity.
立未婚呢，虽然是有律法的规定哈。
Although Levitical marriage was stipulated in the law.
那么并不是一定要强制实行的。
It was not mandatory.
那波阿斯完全可以，也可以置之不理的。
Boaz could totally ignore it.
但是他的举动却是值得称赞的。
But his behavior was worthy of praise.
那我们其实在创世纪第38章其实看到一个类似的例子。
And we see a similar situation in Genesis chapter 38.
那么当时就是雅各的其中的一个儿子犹大哈。
One of Jacob's sons, Judah.
那他就是这个犹大支派的那个犹大哈。
He is the leader of the Judah tribe.
那么他的儿子死了之后啊。
After his son passed away.
那他就让他的一个小儿子就是要和他的嫂子成亲，以便啊来为他的这个长子来留下后代啊。
So he promised the daughter-in-law that he will give the younger son to her to marry.
但是他那小儿子呢就不愿意这样做哈。
But the younger son would not do so.
因为这样做就会对他的家产，对他的将来有损害的。
He feared that by doing that, it will hurt his own inheritance.
那么圣经就记载他故意遗精在地上啊，为了就是不要给他哥哥留后。
So the Bible said that he purposely left out his sperm on the floor, on the ground.
所以呢，圣经讲神是非常恨恶这样的事情。
And the Bible said that God hated something like that.
所以最后他死掉了啊。
So in the end, this younger son died.
所以这就是讲到说一个背景，说这个确实是当时以色列人中流行的一个婚姻的方式。
So this background shows that this kind of marriage was done in the time of Israel.
那么不是很有所有的人都喜欢这样做，因为这个确实是对他的家产，可能是对他的家庭是有一定影响的。
Not everyone chose to follow this law because it will affect how they inherit the property, the inheritance.
所以我们更加看到在这里，那么波阿斯可以做到这一点，做到这个完全的担当是何等不容易。
So we can see that it was kind of difficult for Boaz to take up the whole responsibility.
所以如何在这种有这种天赐良机的情况下，我们不至于败走麦城哈。
So we can see that how can we seize opportunity and not let the outcome slip away from us.
那么路德和波阿斯为我们预备了答案。
Ruth and Boaz prepared an answer for us.
那么深藏于上帝之爱。
And they hid themselves under God's love.
所以当我们能体会到上帝的爱的时候
When we do experience God's love,
我们就会享受那个上帝之爱
We will enjoy God's love.
我们的心就会得到饱足
Our heart will be satisfied.
就好像我们整个人的身呢就被一种无形的保护层给保护住一样
It's like our whole body was covered by a protective layer.
所以邪恶是没有办法侵入的。
Evil cannot invade.
所以在这个故事当中，拿俄米的机智、路德的忠诚和波阿斯的担当。
So in this story, we can see Naomi's wit, Ruth's loyalty, and Boaz's responsibility.
那么在这个天赐良机下，我们都展现了一个高贵的品格。
These were displayed when God given opportunity knocked on the door.
所以我们看到路德呢是完全按照的婆婆的吩咐去办。
We see that Ruth did as her mother-in-law told her.
那么波阿斯呢又是按照路德的要求去行。
And Boaz followed Ruth's request to act.
那么路德呢 后面又听从波阿斯的安排。
And Ruth also waited upon Boaz's arrangement.
所以这一系列的顺服之中，其实都是上帝之爱的一个完美的体现。
So this series of obedience was a beautiful demonstration of God's love.
所以我们怎么样可以把握住我们手上所有的机会呢？
So how should we present ourselves in the face of opportunities?
所以这些人物的见证就给出了一个最好的答案。
The testimony of these characters gives us the best answer.
那就是深藏于上帝之爱之中。
Which is to hide ourselves deeply in God's love.
所以用上帝之爱来把握住这些机会啊。
We need to seize the opportunities with the love of God.
所以这个上帝之爱就是我们前面所讲过的那个 hesed 啊。
And this godly kind of love is the word hesed we talked about before.
那么英文它翻译成了love kindness 哈。
Loving kindness in English.
是神的一种特别的爱哈。
It's a special love of God.
那么自古以来啊，其实婚姻就并非是简单的这种两性之爱而已。
Marriage has not been a simple love affair between two sexes since ancient time.
因为这种关系啊，都是与家庭的责任、与社会的地位、经济状况等都是密切不可分的哈。
Because the marriage relationship has been inseparable from family responsibility, social status, and economic conditions.
那么现代人呢，已经把情爱简单化了。
Modern people have simplified love.
有的时候甚至公式化了。
Sometimes even made it into a formula.
所以当人把婚姻与责任分割开来之后，
So when people separate marriage from responsibilities,
尤其是为家庭的破裂就埋下了一些隐患。
It lays down the hidden danger for the breakdown of the family.
所以当人的社会和经济地位改变的时候，
So when a person's social and economic status changes,
那么他对家庭的委身呢也改变了。
So does his commitment to the family.
我想这是当今社会啊的一个大问题哈。
I think this is a huge problem for our society today.
所以家庭问题是社会不稳定因素的一个主要来源。
We can see that family problems are the main source of social instability.
那么我们这个时代既缺乏这个女人的忠诚，我们也更缺乏男人的担当。
So in our generation, we see the lack of loyalty for women and the lack of responsibility for men.
那么有一个牧师呢，曾经去帮助一对夫妻哈。
Once there was a pastor helping a couple.
因为这个他们家庭中有一些问题啊。
Because they have some family issues.
那这牧师花了一些时间去帮助他们，后来就发现说根本就没有办法帮助他解决问题。
After spending some time with this couple, the pastor discovered that he has no way to help them solve their problems.
因为早期来美国的时候呢，这个先生呢是开始读书。没有工作也没有收入。
So in the early times when the husband came to the States, he was studying, so he had no job nor income.
所以家里呢是完全靠妻子的收入来维持生活。
The family's livelihood was dependent upon the wife's income.
那后来她丈夫呢学了电脑，也毕业了，工作挣了很多的钱。
And then the husband graduated and his major was computer. So he found a job and he earned a lot of money.
所以他们也搬到了一个很好的社区住一个很大的房子。
And they moved to a good community and they owned a big house.
你看这本来就是神的一个祝福嘛。
We can see this as a blessing from God.
但是这个机会面前他们却完全失败了。
But they failed.Upon this opportunity.
因为这个做丈夫的总是觉得呢，在当初他在读书的时候呢，他的太太是家里唯一的收入。
Because the husband felt that when he was studying, his wife was the only breadwinner of the family.
那个时候呢，他觉得他太太和太太的家里人对他 的态度都不是很好。
At that time, he felt that his wife and his wife's family were not good to him in their attitudes.
所以现在呢，他终于翻身了哈。
Now it turned around.
所以呢，他就开始这个把过去心里面所有的积恨呢，全部都发出来。
So he began to show all the hatred that he accumulated through the years.
所以你看，本来是一个祝福的机会，但是他却变成了一个诅咒。
So we can see that the opportunity as a blessing, now it turned to be a curse.
所以婚姻呢，不只是一种感受而已。
So marriage is not just a feeling.
也不是是只是满足我们一时的欲望啊
，or just to satisfy our temporary desires。
因为这种感情啊，欲望都不会持续太久。
Because such feelings and desires will not last long。
但是我并不是说我们不需要有这种啊，双方有这种感情，还是需要的啊。
I'm not saying that the couple really don't need affection between them。
但是婚姻。很多是有一种责任，有一种担当的啊。
But more to a marriage is our responsibility.
那么有一个调查就表明说对婚姻满意的程度是怎样啊。
There was a survey on how much people are satisfied with their marriage.
那么后来他们就发现那个幸福的婚姻呢到底是怎么样的一个结果。
And then through this survey, they discovered how does a happy marriage work.
那后来他发现呢，很多人如果在结婚之初呢，他是想说我进入这个婚姻怎么样是可以满足对方的需要啊。
They discovered that when you enter the marriage, you're thinking about how can you help the other party.
那么这样的人呢，十年、二十年。三十年之后，他们是对婚姻是最满意度最高的。
So this kind of people after 10, 20, 30 years, they are most satisfied with a marriage.
但是很多人进入婚姻呢是有不同的态度的哈。
But many people enter the marriage with a different attitude.
啊，那男孩子有人就想啊，我进入婚姻之后，终可以有人为我洗衣服哈。
For example, the male may think, oh, someone will wash my clothes for me after I get married.
那我结婚的时候会有人给我煮饭哈。
And someone will cook for me.
And so on, 啊，很多这样的想法。
And so on and so forth.
那结果发现，这些人在过了十年、二十年、三十年之后，他们对婚姻的满意度是最低的。
And they discovered that after 10, 20, 30 years, these people have the least satisfied marriage.
所以一个幸福的婚姻呢，实际上啊，不是说你可以从婚姻中得到什么哈。
So a happy marriage does not depend on how much you can gain from the marriage.
而是说你有多少可以在婚姻中付出，而且从这付出中你得到满足的。
But how much you can give to the marriage and how much satisfaction you derive.
所以一个婚姻的维系啊，不是取决于你有多么喜欢对方的优点哈。
So a happy marriage does not depend on how much you like the other person's strength.
不管那优点有多么出色，那过了一段时间都慢慢褪色了。
No matter how outstanding that strength might be, after a few years, it will fade away.
而是很大的程度上取决于你能够。在多大的程度上接纳和忍受对方的缺点。
But to a large extent, how much you can accept and endure the other party's shortcomings.
所以当我们面对一些机会的时候，我们应该知道怎么样去把握自己。
So when we face some opportunities, we should know how to present ourselves.
对，把握的根本就在于我们将自己深藏于上帝之爱之中。
And the basis of how we present ourselves is how we can hide ourselves in the depth of God's love.
波阿斯和路德在何尝有一个幽会的机会。
Boaz and Ruth had a dating opportunity at the threshing floor.
这个故事本身不只是提醒我们要洁身自好而已。
This story not just reminds us that we need to stay pure.
而更重要的是让我们看到说如何在这个天赐良机之中啊。
But more importantly is when we do have a God-given opportunity.
我们要见证上帝之爱。
That we need to give our testimony of God's love.
路德的忠诚和波阿斯的担当都是值得推崇的一个高贵品格啊。
Ruth's loyalty and Boaz's responsibility are both characters worthy to be praised.
这些品格呀，就来于他们敬畏上帝的心。
And this character stems from their fear of God.
上帝在我们的人生当中也赐予许许多多的机会。
God also gives us many opportunities in our life.
我们是利用这些机会为己谋利呢？
Are we using these opportunities for our own benefit?
还是利用这种机会，这些机会来放纵自己呢？
Or are we using these opportunities to indulge ourselves?
还是我们利用这些机会来彰显上帝的荣耀？
Or are we using these opportunities to demonstrate God's love?
这些机会都是上帝赐给我们。
All these opportunities are given to us by God.
但是如何应对这些机会，这是我们自己的选择。
But how we respond to these opportunities is our choice.
这些就是人的责任了。
And these become our responsibility.
那我们今天这个借着这个故事，我们给出的对策就是说，我们要将自己深藏于上帝之爱之中。
So through this story,We find one of our strategies is that we need to hide ourselves deeply in God's love.
因为上帝非常看重我们的圣洁。
Because God values a lot of our purity.
那么在第六世纪的时候有一个修道士哈。
In the 6th century, there was a monk.
他的名字呢叫 Marina the Monk.
His name was Marina the Monk.
中文可以翻成叫马琳娜哈。
So in Chinese, maybe Melina.
哎，你听这名字说，哎，修道士不都是男生吗？这是一个女生啊。
And most people who lived in a monastery were males, and this name sounds like a female thing.
Yeah, 确实有一些这个女性的修道士，但是这位女性她是女扮男装哈。
Actually, there were a female living in the monastery, so she disguised herself as a male.
你就会想到中国的那个故事花木兰，是不是？
So sometimes you may think the story of 花木兰。
那么她呢，是本身出生在一个非常富有的家庭哈。
She was raised in a very wealthy family.
那她小的时候，她母亲就去世。
But her mother passed away when she was very young.
他的父亲呢把他抚养成人。
Her father raised her.
那他父亲呢他长大之后呢就想把他嫁出去哈。
So after she grew up, the father wanted to marry her.
那找一个婆家他就可以安心了哈。
To find a husband for her.
因为他父亲是一个非常虔诚的基督徒。
Because her father was a very devout Christian.
他就想把女儿嫁出去，那么他就把所有的财产都给了女儿，她自己就到修道院去。
She wanted to marry her daughter out and gave her all the inheritance so he can live in a monastery.
然后她的女儿呢就不答应。
But the wife did not agree.
她说你呢
？I mean the daughter did not agree.
你自己将你的一生呢去追求你的信仰啊，追求一个圣洁，一个好的生命，你不能把你的女儿就放弃了。
She said that she was thinking that you want to marry me to someone else so you can go live a pure life. She didn't say that's not good to leave me this way.
因为 Marina 她也想自己，她也想跟她父亲一样去追求一个这样圣洁属灵的生活。
She was hoping to pursue the same goal to live a pure life as her father.
所以最后呢，他们父女两个就是把所有的财产呢就放弃掉哈，分给了别人。
So at the end, both the father and the daughter gave their property, their inheritance away.
然后呢，他们呢，就是这个女儿呢，就女扮男装哈，他们两个人就住到这个修道院去。
So the daughter disguised herself as a man, and they both lived in a monastery.
那几年之后呢，他父亲也就去世。
A few years later, the father passed away.
那 Marina 就自己在那个修道院里居住。
And Marina lived alone in the monastery.
没有人知道他是一个男子的身份。
Nobody knew. Nobody knew that she was a girl.
Yeah. 那么他在那修道院有很好的名声的。
And she earned a very good reputation in the monastery.
有一天，这修道院院长呢，就打发他去村里面去办一些事情。
Now one day, the person in charge of the monastery sent her to a village to run some errands.
那么他们因为离得很远的地方，他们回来的路上就要在一个客栈里面要休息一夜啊。
Because the village was kind of far away, so they need to stay in the inn on the way.
那么结果那个 inn 的老板呢，有一个女儿，她长得是很漂亮的哈。
And the owner of the inn had a daughter, and she was very beautiful.
那住在 inn 里面呢，还有一个是当时的这个士兵哈。
There was another soldier living in the inn at the same time.
那么这个 inn 的这个客栈里，这个老板的女儿跟这士兵呢，他们就彼此就有私通了哈。
And the daughter of the innkeeper and the soldier had a relationship.
那么私通之后呢，过了一段时间，他们发现这个客栈的女儿的怀孕了哈。
And after a while, the daughter found out that she got pregnant.
那么这个士兵已经走了，也没有办法哪里去找哈。
And the soldier had left, and they didn't know where to find him.
于是这个客栈的老板就追问他女儿，这个到底是谁的孩子。
So the innkeeper asks his daughter, you know, whose baby is this?
所以这个女儿没有办法说，就把这个修道士 Marina 的名字说出来了。
And daughter had no answer, and then she gave the name of Milena to the father.
所以这客栈的老板就找到了修道院，就说这个你干的好事情啊。
So the innkeeper went to the monastery and told Milena you did something like that.
所以就要求他一定要要来抚养，负责抚养这个孩子啊。
And asked her to raise this child.
所以后来这个孩子出生以后呢，这个客栈老板就把这孩子丢给他去抚养。
So after the baby was born, the innkeeper took the baby to Milena to raise up.
那修道院院长呢，后来也把他给赶出了修道院，因为你出了这样丑闻哈。
And then the head of the monastery also cast her out.
但是 Marina 根本就没有抱怨，也没有去申诉，而是把这个孩子就带在身边，自己来抚养。
But Milena did not have any complaint, nor did she appeal, so she kept the baby to herself and she raised the baby.
那过几年，这个孩子渐渐的长大哈。
So after a few years, the baby grew up.
所以他呢，这个 Marina 也请求这个多次的请求的修道院长让他回去修道院居住哈。
And Milena asked many times repeatedly for the head of the monastery to let her go back to live there.
那后来修道院长终于同意他可以带着这个孩子可以在修道院里居住哈。
Finally, he agreed that Milena could bring the baby to live in the house, in the monastery.
那几年之后呢， Marina 因为生病他就去世了哈。
A few years later, Milena died of illness.
那当人们去准备安葬他，给他处理尸体的时候，才发现原来她是个女性。
And when people prepare for her burial and when they touch her body, they discovered that she was a woman.
所以他们这才发现这么多年来他们来是冤枉了她这个人。
And they realized that they mistreated her all these years.
所以我们从这个故事看到说，这是一个何等谦卑，何等敬虔的一个人。
So from this story, we could see that Milena was such a humble and pious person.
我想我们在座的大多数人可能一生中都不会遇到这样特别奇特的事情啊。
I think most of us will not have something like this happen to us in our whole life.
但是一些小小的事情上，我们如果能够胜过这些试探跟诱惑的话。
But in the little things, if we can overcome all these temptations.
那神在我们身上的祝福将是何等的奇妙。
Then God will have a very wonderful blessings upon our lives.
好，让我们一起来低头祷告。
So let's bow our heads in prayer.
天父上帝，我们感谢你的恩典。
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace.
我们感谢你借着这段故事所向我们启示。
We thank you that you shed light to us through this story.
让我们知道说我们在神所赐给我们的机会当中，我们如何把握住这样的机会。
That we know how to seize opportunities when opportunities do come.
主啊，求你赐给我们一颗圣洁的心。
We pray that you will give us a pure heart.
求主你赐给我们一颗敬畏神的心。
And a heart that fears God.
所以让我们在这些所有的机会上面，我们真是用上帝之爱来彰显你的荣耀。
That in all these opportunities, we can demonstrate your glory through your love.
我们将我们的会众，将我们的教会都交托在你的手中。
We commit our church and our congregation into your hands.
求主你保守我们。
May you watch over us.
愿上帝之爱能真是激励我们的心。
May your love inspire our hearts.
在我们所做一切的事上，我们可以荣耀你。
That in all the things we do, we can bring glory to you.
谢谢主，让我们再一次思想你的话语。
Thank you that we once again have the opportunity to meditate upon your word.
我们感谢你的恩典，我们这样祈求祷告，奉靠耶稣基督名求。
And we thank you for your grace, and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.